Coming up next on the Pod Wheels Network, you'll hear the latest edition of the Inside 2020 podcast series. Inside 2020 is being presented by Expediter Services, and Stoops Freightliner is serving as our title sponsor. Ellen Voya, the president, CEO, and founder of the Women in Trucking Association, will be our guest on this edition of the podcast. Here's a preview.
When we partnered with Expediter Services, we were so excited because what they do is not only to promote the fact that you can be an owner of either a truck or a small fleet, hopefully to grow into a large fleet, but what they're doing is they're addressing some of the obstacles that women might face, might it be in financing or insurance or some of the challenges in buying a truck. With Expediter Services as our partner, they're overcoming some of those obstacles with these female drivers and helping them become more successful.
Welcome back to the Insight 2020 podcast series, and thanks for connecting with us again here on the Pod Wheels Network. Presented by Expediter Services, the Insight 2020 podcast series is pleased to have Stoops Freightliner as our title sponsor. Through the Insight 2020 podcast series, we're placing a spotlight on key issues and opportunities within the trucking industry, while also highlighting members of the ES community. Founded in 2006, ES has become a leader in providing capacity solutions and ownership opportunities within the trucking industry. As you heard in the opening, Ellen Voya will be our guest on this edition of the Inside 2020 podcast. For those who don't know, Ellen is the founder of the Women in Trucking Association. She built the organization from the ground up to become one of the most respected associations in the trucking industry. For the past 13 years, Ellen has served as the president and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association. During this edition of the podcast, Pod Wheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson explores a number of topics with Ellen, including the adjustments that Ellen and Women in Trucking have had to make due to the COVID-19 national emergency. Greg also talks with Ellen about the growth of the number of women entering the trucking industry and the opportunities for women as the industry moves forward, including the collaborative initiative between Expediter Services and Women in Trucking to establish 150 women-owned businesses within the industry. Toward the end of the podcast, Greg asked Ellen how the weekly Women in Trucking radio show was launched on SiriusXM's Road Dog Trucking Radio Channel 146. Now let's take it to Greg Thompson for the first part of his conversation with Women in Trucking Association founder Ellen Voya.
Hello again, everybody. Greg Thompson from the Pod Wheels Network, back with you again on the Insight 2020 podcast. As we mentioned at the top of the podcast, Ellen Voya is our guest. Ellen is the founder, president, and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association. Ellen, it's great to have you here on the Insight 2020 podcast.
Thanks so much for inviting me, Greg.
We got a lot to talk about, and particularly Accelerate 2020, because we're in a countdown for that.
That's right. It's coming up in November 12th and 13th, and it's going to be a packed 2 days. I mean, it'll be lots of fun, lots of educational information, and lots of networking.
Accelerate 2020 was not what you originally planned. We know 2020 got in the way. So talk to us about that journey a little bit.
Well, we were so excited last year to have over 1,100 registered attendees. So we were really hoping to break all records this year. But we made the decision, a couple of months ago to turn our conference into a virtual event because we realized that with COVID-19, we didn't want to be the event that might not be healthy. So we turned it into a virtual event and decided that people come for the content and the networking. So we have to still maintain that. And so we looked at a lot of different platforms. It's going to be very interactive. We still plan on delivering on what people are looking for. And that's not just networking, but it's educational, informational, and entertaining type programs. And that's what everyone's going to get.
I've seen a lot of the social media posts and some of the emails that you guys have been sending out as an organization. Can you give us a little bit of a preview on some of the particulars that people are going to get through the conference?
Oh, sure. We have Elaine Chow. She is delivering a keynote address on Thursday. We have panel presentations. We also will be announcing the winner of our Influential Woman in Trucking Award. We have some presentations that will be not just educational, but entertaining. One of my favorites, Liar, Liar, Pants on Fire with Tracy Brown. And she tells you how to read people's body language and tell if they're lying. And she gives some great examples. And then some economic forecasting type presentations, just a lot of different events. We'll be talking about our driver ambassador trailer and actually giving it a name. People be able to vote on what name they want for the driver ambassador tractor trailer. So it's just going to be a lot of fun, a lot of interaction, and a lot of education.
You mentioned right there at the top that you've got Elaine Chao. And for those who might not know, Elaine Chao is the Secretary of Transportation in the Trump administration. I know that was a huge get for you guys. She was on the schedule to be there in person in Dallas when you had planned it, to keep her on the schedule, to keep her part of the program. Talk about the honor of having the Secretary of Transportation speak at your conference.
Well, we've been trying for years to get her to speak at our conference because she is the most visible woman in trucking. It was very rewarding when her office said, we are going to take the time and have her give a personalized message to our attendees, specific to the Women in Trucking Conference. And so that was very rewarding for us to have her as part of our event.
And you mentioned to us your driver ambassador program. I know when we had talked a little bit earlier in the year, you guys were just kicking that off. So talk to us about the driver ambassador program, how it's gotten rolling, and where you are today with it.
So we wanted to have a tractor trailer driven by a female driver to go out and share the message about the jobs in the trucking industry. And so Walmart donated a trailer to us. Our driver that we hired is Kelly Lynn McLaughlin, and she's also a driver for Schneider National. Schneider is donating the use of their tractor, so she'll be driving for us 1 week a month and for them 2 weeks a month. We've gotten a lot of the items donated, including a simulator that will go in the trailer. So right now the trailer is being retrofitted so that it'll be a very hands-on learning environment. People will be able to walk in, watch videos, do simulator, and learn about not just the history of women in the trucking industry, but also how they can become either professional drivers or find other careers in transportation. We are so excited about this, and we hope to get it rolling the first part of next year.
Now, Ellen, before we go any further in our interview, I wanted to step back for a moment because there may be some of our listeners who might not be familiar with the Women in Trucking Association and might not be familiar with your background. So if we could, I'd like to go back to your experience in the trucking industry and how WIT began.
So kind of they're both the same because, as you mentioned, I am the founder. So my journey has also been Women in Trucking's journey, but it actually goes back a lot further. In high school, my goal was to be in broadcast journalism. So it's kind of funny that I ended up in the trucking industry, which is typical because so many of the women in the industry had other career goals and ended up in supply chain in some capacity and love it here, so we stay. In high school, I took shop class. I always liked things like woodworking and engines and welding and drafting and things like that. So I was hired by a steel fabricating plant to draw material handling equipment. So it was like racking and cantilever racks and pallets and things like that, bins. And one day they came and said, we'd like to move you in the traffic department and we'll send you to school for traffic and transportation management. So I took that opportunity, started out as the assistant traffic manager and moved my way up to the traffic manager. But it launched my career in transportation. I learned everything about how to read tariffs and audit freight bills, how to apply for authority, fuel taxes, things like that. So what a great base to start in transportation. Through the years, I worked for Trucker Buddy International. That's a pen pal program for professional drivers who send postcards to elementary classes. Then I was hired by a large Midwest carrier to do recruiting retention programs. During that time, they said, Ellen, figure out how to attract and retain non-traditional groups. And one of the groups they were focusing on was women. Well, this is about 15 years ago, Greg, and a lot of trucking companies didn't think about 50% of the population being in the trucking industry because it had always been such a male-dominated environment.
Sure.
So when I started looking at, is the trucking industry very attractive to women, and realized that there's so many more things that we could do to accommodate women. But first of all, we had to understand what they were looking for. When I was working for this company, I actually was also working on my pilot's license, and I belonged to an organization for female pilots. And I thought, well, why isn't there an organization for women in the trucking industry? In 2007, March of 2007, the Women in Trucking Association was born. And here we are 13 years later with about 5,400 members in 10 countries. We include men who are members and also women in all roles in the transportation industry. It's been quite a journey, Greg.
Absolutely. And I think what you found through your discovery of your introduction into the industry and what you found along the way was that there was a need for this. Who was going to step up and do it? And you made it happen. And I will tell you one other thing. I am a proud member of the Women in Trucking Association, have been for a few years. It's a great organization. You and leadership and the membership have done great things along the way. But if you go back to the genesis of it, it really showed that you were able to step up, find a need, and fill it. But what did you find along the way? Talk to us about the percentage of women that were in the industry pre-2007. It's really evolved over the last 13, 15 years.
From what I understand, we were about 3% female drivers about 14, 15 years ago. We did a survey with FreightWaves of about 900 carriers. Over the road drivers, females make up just over 10%. We've come a long way, but still, 10% isn't 50% because women still make up 50% of the population. So we still have a long ways to go to see more women entering the trucking industry, especially as professional drivers.
Ellen, one of the cool things that's happened over the years with women in trucking is that you've been able to build relationships across the industry with companies, with fleets, with vendors. One of the relationships I'd like for you to speak to, because we are on the Insight 2020 podcast presented by ES, is how the relationship started with Expediter Services.
Well, I met Jeff Tacker and Jason Williams of Expediter Services a few years ago. They brought me down to their facility and we talked about diversity in the trucking industry. And we realized that we had a lot of the same goals. They wanted to see more diversity and they were doing what they could to assist women into either entering the industry as a driver or as an owner operator and helping them, holding their hand and guiding them using their experiences and history in the industry to make a lot of drivers successful, not just women, but men and women. But their focus with us was to say, let's see how many women we can get into the trucking industry and help them start a small fleet or just be an owner operator. And Greg, I always say every large trucking company out there, whether it's Schneider, J.B. Hunt, Werner, Sierra England, every one of those started with a man and a truck. What I want to see in the future is some large company out there that started with a woman and a truck, and ES is helping us do that.
Ellen, when you look at it, I know we spoke about it just a moment ago, the percentage of women in this industry is now at 10%. You look at the ES community, the ES community is at 38%. We'll talk about the Business 150 Challenge a little bit later in the podcast, but they have been an engine for small business. And as you said, women-owned businesses, creating that opportunity, creating a platform to have a group like that, be able to work with a group like that, has to have a lot of meaning for you and for the organization.
One of the things that I've learned, and I'm going to go back 13 years when I started Women in Trucking, trucking companies would tell me, oh, Ellen, we don't care about their age, their gender, their ethnicity. We just want good drivers. Well, what they weren't doing was looking at what brings women into the industry. Why do women leave? What are some of the obstacles? Things like that. Now, companies are saying, we understand the value that women bring to this industry. And ES was ahead of that. And the companies that have recognized that actively made changes in their organizations to attract women, maybe in the recruiting ads, maybe in the wording, maybe it's just buying uniform shirts for women, simple things like that, listening to their drivers and finding out what challenges they're facing or what obstacles, and then trying to address those. Those companies like ES are so far ahead because they're being proactive instead of reactive.
Absolutely. And another thought that I wanted to throw out here right now before we get into looking at 2020 is the fact that women approach trucking differently. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Women come into the industry for money, same as men, okay? Because we've asked, what brings you into the industry? Because think about this. Women make the same amount of money as men because you're paid either by the mile, the load, the hour, whatever, in this job. Women are attracted to the industry because of the money. But 83% of the women we interviewed in a survey said that they came into the industry at the prompting of a family member or friend. So what does that mean? Well, the typical female driver is about 50. Her kids are grown. She's got a husband or boyfriend or dad or brother or somebody in the trucking industry who says, hey, your kids are grown up. You can go out and get your CDL. Let's go get your CDL and you can come out on the road with me. So that's how most women enter the trucking industry. It's at the prompting of a family member or friend, which is very important to think about because that means they already know what the lifestyle is like. You don't have to tell them, hey, you're away from your family. You're out on the road. You're sleeping in a vehicle. You don't have to tell them that. They already know that. They've already got an edge when they come into the industry because they've done their homework and they're knowledgeable and they know what to expect.
And the fact that women in trucking and a lot of your members, pioneers out there, have done a lot to help change the industry in terms of creating amenities for women out there in the road. Because even going back to 2007, things were a lot better than they were in 1980. Yet this industry has had to come a long way and still has a long ways to go.
Well, you know what's interesting about that is a lot of things that we help get for our drivers. Okay, let's talk about truck stops. Women typically, I'm generalizing here, have a higher standard for cleanliness. If women are demanding cleaner showers and the truck stops are listening, one truck stop chain actually asked our members, what changes do you want to see? Not only are they cleaning the ventilation system and they put in fluffy towels and hair dryers and big shower heads and things like that. And men like that too. That's not just for women. If women are elevating the standards of cleanliness at the truck stop, that benefits everyone. If you talk about the truck's design themselves, the truck cab design and ergonomics, they were built for men years ago. In fact, the manufacturers even said they're built for the 95th percentile male. Well, now the truck manufacturers are saying, wow, we need to accommodate all sizes, heights, and width, and they're making more flexibility in the trucks. They're listening. They're paying attention. And so I think that's what Women in Trucking is really all about, is giving a voice to our members and saying, here's some of the things that this industry needs to look at in creating change. We want it to be a positive change. Everything that we do doesn't just benefit women, it benefits everyone.
When you talk about facilities and cleanliness and all of that, we kind of transition into 2020 because, as you know, COVID-19 has dominated not only the headlines, but everywhere. This is not the year that we had anticipated 2020 being. It's not anything anybody could have predicted. Can you give us your general observations about 2020 and the role that trucking has played during this global pandemic?
Well, there's positives and negatives. The positive is that the trucking industry has already proven itself. I mean, it's an essential service, it's supply chain, but more importantly, the general public is finally starting to see that tractor trailer on the road, and somehow it's connected to the toilet paper or the groceries or even the gas they put in their tank on the other end. So they're looking at drivers as, wow, I finally understand that these drivers, these tractor trailers being on the road are actually bringing things to me and my family. So that's the positive. The negative has been the, let's just talk about germs. Everybody's worried about germs. They're worried about breathing it in. They're worried about touching. They're worried about being around people. That's created quite a challenge, especially for female drivers. When states shut down, Pennsylvania shut down their rest areas, it's difficult to find a bathroom along your route. And so for women, there's different challenges. And also at shippers and receivers, they don't want drivers using their restrooms either because they're worried about germs. Also, having to talk to someone when you're delivering, a lot of times you used to hand the paperwork to them. Now you either are contactless, it's in your phone, or you're sliding a paper underneath a plexiglass window. The one other thing that I've heard from our drivers is that they're more lonely. They're more isolated. And many of the drivers didn't want to go home because they might have had someone at home that maybe had a compromised health situation, so they didn't want to expose them. Also, a lot of events have been canceled, weddings, family reunions, things like that. They're struggling with some of the loneliness that comes with a job where you're in the cab of a truck for hours on end. So there's positives and negatives.
That's for sure. There's been a lot of changes out there. There's been a lot of things that folks have had to deal with that they've never had to deal with before.
The challenges for the drivers have really been mostly about trying to protect themselves from contracting the COVID-19 virus and keeping themselves healthy and their families healthy.
You mentioned it earlier, the fact that America looked at this point in time and said, wow, the shelves are empty. As you know, there was a run on toilet paper, run on Lysol wipes, run on all these essential things, along with food. And yes, the shelves were empty for a little bit of time. And I think that's what created an awareness of like, where does that come from? So it's definitely been a shining moment for drivers, but they are on the front lines. You mentioned that they face a lot of challenges with the new processes in place, making sure that they keep their hands clean, the sanitized surfaces, take all the precautions. At the same time, I know that you've been looking at the wellness of drivers. You mentioned that about loneliness, but you've also talked a little bit about the strategies in terms of the wellness, the mental well-being of folks. You guys are kind of looking into that too, aren't you?
Again, we listen to our members. And so when our members are telling us that they're being stressed out because they're afraid that their own health might be compromised, or they can't go home to their families because they don't want to compromise their family's health, and then the loneliness. And another thing is passing their physical. So many drivers have said that they've gained weight during this COVID-19, partially because they can't go into the sit-down restaurants. They have to eat a lot of fast food. And some situations, they can't even access fast food because you can't drive an 18-wheeler through a drive-thru. So it's been a challenge for drivers. And so we wanted to alleviate that portion of the stress as much as we could. And we partnered with an organization called Aspyr, E-S-P-Y-R. And they're the leading mental health counseling organization. We offered all of our CDL driver members free mental health counseling, which is called Talk Now, and it's 24/7. It's for them and their families. And we gave them Fit to Pass, which is to help them pass their physical, which is the physical component. It was paid for by Amazon. Amazon paid for 90 days service for all of our driver CDL holder members of Women in Trucking. So again, we listen to our members. How can we take their obstacles and try to reduce them or eliminate them? Mental health and physical health have been a top concern in these past few months. I mean, the testimonials are amazing. One woman said she dropped one dress size in a month just because her Fit to Pass counselor was helping her drink more water, get more exercise, get more sleep, things like that. When you have someone who's helping you and leading you and coaching you, it's a lot easier to make changes in your life. So the response from the drivers who have been using it have been really positive.
Well, as an organization, you guys have to feel like you've helped to make a difference right there, because people talk about COVID-19, but you mentioned putting on weight, talk about the COVID-15, folks sitting around being sedentary, adding 15 pounds. For drivers who are already in a sedentary job, those types of changes we've seen with COVID-19 have been, as you outlined, very challenging. As an organization, the fact that Women in Trucking Association have been able to reach out, put these resources in place, and make a difference for your membership and the industry, that's got to be a very rewarding feeling for you guys.
Thank you for saying that, Greg, because we want to help everybody and want to make the environment better for everyone in the industry. And so if we can do something little, or maybe not little, but to help someone with a mental health counselor or passing their physical or whatever obstacles that they're facing, if we can address those, that's what we're here for, is making the trucking industry a better place for everyone so that we can attract more women and men as drivers, as technicians, as owners, as any role in transportation, supply chain. They're essential, they're needed, and they're valued.
Speaking of that, when you look at what's happening in the economy, and we know that there are a lot of small businesses that have either been put on hold, they are working with restrictions. There's a lot of things happening. There's a lot of businesses that are on the edge. There are a lot of businesses that are not going to come back. And we know that trucking is an essential industry. We know that it's something that's going to keep on happening, whether there's COVID-19 or the next crisis. We also know that this is an industry that is in transition. When you look at what's happening and you look at the opportunities that are out there, could this be a moment? I know, having a global pandemic and the loss of life this country has suffered and the pain and misery that COVID-19 has caused has been horrific. If we're trying to look at horizons and positives, which I try to do, even in situations like this, I want to get your thought about, could this be a moment, a transition moment in the industry where people start looking at opportunities, entrepreneurs start looking at opportunities that says, you know what, trucking is a business that I might want to go into?
Well, I think that is one of the positives about this pandemic, that people are seeing the value of the transportation industry. a lot of times people didn't really think about the person behind the wheel of the truck. They'd see the tractor trailer on the road and they'd say, oh, they're in my way, they're going too slow. They really didn't think about the human side of the trucking industry. And now they're looking at truck drivers as not only essential, but in some cases, heroes. I mean, I think it's amazing when a driver says they pulled into a huge box store with a load of toilet paper and the customers started clapping and cheering because the shelves were empty. So I think you're going to see that people will look at the trucking industry in a little bit different light, hopefully for the long term. But more importantly, they'll start considering careers because guess what? All these people who got laid off because they were in careers, I feel sorry for the people who were maybe waiters or waitresses at sit-down restaurants because they were out of a job, or the people who worked in the automotive industry, or people in the entertainment industry. They did not have work, and yet the trucking industry kept rolling, and there were jobs, and we still have jobs. And in fact, it's looking up. Freight is starting to move again. There'll always be a need for professional drivers because you can't outsource that. We've got jobs. You can make good money. So come and join us.
When you speak about that, opportunities for women, this could be a time when you go from 10 to, say, 20%, right?
Oh, that would be wonderful. That's what we're working on.
That's Ellen Voya, the president and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association. You're listening to the Pod Wheels Network and another edition of the Insight 2020 podcast presented by Expediter Services. We'll return to the interview section of the podcast in just a moment. Right now, we'd like to talk to you about Expediter Services, a leader in providing capacity solutions and ownership opportunities within the trucking industry. We'll also spend a moment highlighting Stoops Freightliner, the title sponsor of the Insight 2020 program. For those of you that may not be familiar with the history of Expediter Services, ES was launched in 2006, and the company entered the transportation market with an initial focus on meeting the needs and creating opportunities within the expedited sector of the trucking industry. The working model that ES developed and then deployed within the expedited market sought to remove the barriers that exist within the industry for professional drivers to become truck owners and operate their own small businesses. The ES model has also been designed to help owner-operators and fleet owners upgrade and/or grow. Through ES, qualified participants in the company programs have access to competitive, market-rate financing with a credit evaluation process that puts an emphasis on attitude, aptitude, work ethic, and work history. From its earliest days, ES concentrated on creating a path to ownership that would place participants on the road to success. Along with industry-leading discounts on fuel, maintenance, and other services valued by professional drivers, independent contractors, and fleet owners, ES can offer program participants the kind of back-office support and business advisory services that are invaluable when working to meet the challenge of operating a small business. Today, ES is a leading provider of capacity to trucking's expedited market. Carriers value the non-asset capacity of the dedicated, hardworking, small business owners who are part of the ES community. With a decade worth of proven results in the expedited market, ES began the company's outreach into the general trucking market in 2016, and ES continues to grow within general trucking. The offerings from ES are a perfect fit for entrepreneurs, men and women of all ages who have a desire to travel while running their own business. One of the founding principles of ES is to be of service by providing opportunities to people seeking a better life for themselves and their families. While ES has delivered some of the most innovative and accessible truck ownership programs to the industry, the lasting strength of ES is found within the community of support the company and the participants have built since 2006. Being a part of the ES community means that you'll never stand alone. And with the challenges that exist for small businesses within today's trucking industry, the commitment of the ES community to stand with each other has proven to be a key ingredient in the formula for success in trucking. We're almost set to return to our interview on this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast. Here's a little more about the scope of services and support that Expediter Services brings to the trucking industry.
Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. The more you learn, the more you earn. We treat you like family. Well, you can start off small and grow real big, or stay where you are, driving your rig. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. We've got the programs to save you cash. We've got support to get you there real fast. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be. Expediter Services is the place you ought to be.
To learn more about the ownership opportunities, specific programs, and comprehensive support available through ES, please visit essuccessintrucking.com. That website again is essuccessintrucking.com. Before we rejoin our Inside 2020 podcast interview with Women in Trucking Association founder Ellen Boya, we wanted to take a moment to talk to you about Stoops Freightliner, the title sponsor of the Inside 2020 podcast, the Inside 2020 online program, and the Success in Trucking Expo, which will take place in the spring of 2021. Stoops Freightliner is a division of Truck Country, and for those of you who don't know, the combination of Stoops Freightliner and Quality Trailer stands today as the largest Freightliner dealer group in the U.S., serving customers in 23 locations in Indiana, Iowa, Wisconsin, and Minnesota. Stoops offers new and used medium and heavy-duty trucks. The dealership also offers Wabash and many other trailer options. Stoops and Truck Country feature expert service, an extensive parts inventory, financing, and truck leasing options. To learn more about Stoops Freightliner, please visit the following website, truckcountry.com. That's truckcountry.com. Now let's return to this edition of the Inside 2020 podcast here on the Podwheels Network. The Inside 2020 podcast series is presented by Expediter Services. Here's Podwheels Network executive producer Greg Thompson and our phone conversation with Ellen Boya, the president and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association.
Hello again, everybody. Greg Thompson from the Podwheels Network. Thanks again for making the Inside 2020 podcast series part of your day. Joined here again by our special guest, Ellen Boya, founder, president, and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association. And Ellen, you're on the other end of the questions this time because you are a national radio host. You host the Women in Trucking Show, which is on Sirius XM's Road Dog Trucking Radio Channel 146. Tell us about how that happened.
You know what's really funny about that, Greg, is I think I mentioned earlier that in high school, I wanted to go into broadcast journalism. I actually went to school for broadcast journalism and worked as a disc jockey at a radio station in Ohio for a while. Here we are many, many years later, and I finally get my own show on Sirius XM. It came about because I was actually a guest on Freewheelin' the last Wednesday of every month for over 10 years. And I've also been a guest on the Dave Nemo Show for the last 10 years as well. And so the producers thought, well, we've got Ellen talking about women in trucking on other people's shows. Why don't we see if Ellen would be interested in having her own show? So I actually picked the Saturday slot because I felt that I didn't know if I could fit it in during the week. But the Saturday slot has worked out really well. So it's been over 2 years. It was January of 2018 when I had my very first show. And here we are a little over 2.5 years later, every Saturday morning from 10 a.m. Central, 11 Eastern until noon Central or 1 Eastern, I get to interview some really cool people and talk about different topics in the trucking industry. And I have to tell you, Greg, those topics can range anything from authors to safety to fuel efficiency to you name it. You've heard my show. It could be almost anything.
I have. And just a quick aside, I started out in college doing college radio. Actually set up interviews with members of the Allman Brothers Band. Actually interviewed Charlie Daniels, who just passed away. Arranged all those interviews out of my dorm room. It is something that gets in your blood, so it had to be fun for you to get back into it. What have been some of the highlights from you, and what's been kind of the favorite part of doing this show?
Well, my favorite part of doing the show is that it's a call-in show. So you really don't know what kind of questions or comments you're going to get from the listeners. And the listeners are typically, since it is the trucking channel, typically professional drivers, but not always. And since there's a higher percentage of men who are in the trucking industry, the typical caller is a male professional driver, but not always, because I know a lot of other people listen to the show as well. The calls can range from anything, asking a question or making a comment or sharing a story. And I love hearing from our listeners because that's what it's all about. That kind of guides what topics we'll have and who the guests will be in the future. My favorite part is taking the calls from the drivers or the listeners.
And again, you know that I am a regular listener of your show, and I do love to hear that interaction between you and the professional drivers out there. I would say that you've probably picked up a few members along the way, men calling in and learning about the organization, learning about what you do, learning about what Women in Trucking does as an organization.
Well, what a great platform to be able to have thousands of listeners out there and be able to talk about Women in Trucking. And I usually start the show each week talking a little bit about what conferences we will be having or what events we're having or activities. And so our listeners do get a little bit of a taste of the Women in Trucking Association. Even though I get to talk about some of the guests and how I know them or where they're from, it's really focused on educating and entertaining our listener base, which, again, is typically professional drivers.
One of the features that you have on the show, and it's one that I always look forward to, is recognizing random acts of kindness. Wanted to know how that got started. What are a couple of examples or most memorable ones that you've had shared on the air? And then also, while we're talking about this, have you had any that have come up in the COVID-19 era?
I'm glad you asked that because we like to focus on positive things, especially these days. There's so much negativity and frustration, just bad news daily. We decided that we were going to start looking at people who are doing, like you said, random acts of kindness. And so we called it Steering Toward Kindness. And once we started asking drivers for stories about positive things that have happened either to them or by them, we started getting drivers sharing things like, they'll tell me, oh, well, I paid for a meal for a family where they didn't have enough money, or I bought a shower for another driver, or they'll tell me things that have happened to them as well, like maybe somebody helped them or a restaurant actually comes out and serves the driver instead of making them go through a drive-thru or whatever. But the stories are very heartwarming, and I think the reason it's been so well received is because people want to hear good things that are happening. It's funny because there are also industry publications that recognize positive things, and Women in Trucking gets in that list quite often for positive things that we're doing. Really, Greg, it's about highlighting the people who are doing the acts of kindness and giving them some recognition, and maybe not always using their full name, maybe just using a first name, but the listeners know who they are.
And just to retouch on this, has there been anything memorable that has happened since COVID-19 has broken out that somebody's done in that Steering Towards Kindness that they've been recognized?
I'm not sure that I can pick out anything in particular, but I would have to say a shout out to Amazon for paying for 90 days of service for all of our professional drivers so that they can get mental health counseling and be able to pass their physicals. I would say, to me, that's probably been one of the most heartwarming stories for a company to step up and say, we're going to cover this for your drivers.
And I know that that particular segment of your show has a sponsor, and I want to give you the opportunity to mention them as well.
So Rotella always sponsors our Steering Toward Kindness series and very focused on making sure that we get to talk about some of the highlights, the shining stars who are out there doing great things. So it's Shell Rotella and it's Steering Toward Kindness. And I love hearing about Steering Toward Kindness stories. So if anyone has any stories they want me to talk about on the air, I'd love to hear them.
If somebody's listening right now, how would they submit a Steering Towards Kindness story to you?
Well, they could actually send it to Ellen@womenintrucking.org. Make sure they have contact information in case I do need to reach back to them. We've had some people suggest other people for being featured on that. Like once we had a young boy whose dad is a driver, and his dad was talking about how he couldn't get food. This was back when the fast food restaurants weren't allowing trucks through them and the sit-down restaurants were closed. And this young man went out, took his allowance, and started making peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and giving them out to professional drivers. I mean, how cool is that? I mean, people are stepping up and making sure that drivers have hand sanitizers and face masks and water and food. I just love hearing stories like that. I would love for anyone to share those kind of stories. Ellen@womenintrucking.org.
Well, and as we talked about a little bit before, this industry is challenging. It's not for the faint of heart. Somebody's asked me a couple of times, friends of mine, that have said, well, you're involved in the trucking industry. I said, well, I've never gone out on an overnight trip or done that. I've taken many ride-alongs for a day with a driver, but I would compare it to going out on like a three-week camping trip. And you and I both know all of the challenges out there, but seeing that folks recognize that and are willing to step up and do something takes kind of some of the rough edges off of this industry.
And it is hard for people to understand. Sleeping in a truck, a sleeper berth in a cab of a truck, and maybe not having access to showers and restroom facilities very easily and things like that, it's really a challenge for our drivers. But you know what? They're doing a great job.
Well, and I know that you have an extra appreciation for it because you actually went out and got your CDLs. Can you tell people about that experience and what you learned from that and the additional appreciation you have for professional drivers by going through that?
Years ago, I was married to an owner-operator, and we had a small fleet. So we had three trucks, and that's when they had what they called the chauffeur's license. So I could actually drive a truck, maybe to go pick it up at a repair shop or whatever. In 2008, I went to Tri-C, Cuyahoga Community College in Euclid, Ohio, which is a suburb of Cleveland, and I earned my CDL, and I'll tell you what I learned. I learned four-wheelers are stupid. It was December and it was snowing, and I'd be out there with a tractor trailer that says student driver on the side, and people would still cut me off. And I thought, do these people not understand that A, I'm a student driver, and B, it's snowing out there, and C, my truck's a lot bigger than your little car. So guess who's going to win if we collide? So you learn to be a lot more defensive in your driving. So defensive, because drivers are constantly watching what all of the cars around them are doing. We all know that if there's an accident between a truck and a car, first of all, who's going to win? Who's going to get hurt? It's going to be the littler vehicle. But sure. Secondly, who's going to suffer that financial loss? And it's always the trucking companies. Drivers have to be situationally aware of everything that's going on around them all the time. It made me really appreciate the fact that, yes, you're higher up and you can see what's going on around you, but you really have to be aware of what's going on around you.
Absolutely. And when you're pulling up to 80,000 pounds, as a driver once told me, he said, even in the most technologically advanced truck, well, these things don't stop on a dime. It's more like a 50-cent piece.
That's another thing that the non-trucking public doesn't understand. I once read in a high school driver's ed textbook, and it said that trucks have 18 brakes, and so they can stop faster than a car. And I was furious. I just thought, what? Where are they getting this information? Don't they know about momentum? I wrote to the publisher and I said, whoever wrote this really needs to go back to school, and they have to do some investigation in the trucking industry before they start telling 16-year-olds that trucks can stop quicker than a car. I mean, that's just crazy.
Mm-hmm. You just mentioned a moment ago that you're part of owning a fleet and you're very familiar with owner-operators. You went out and got your CDL, and now, well, I wanted to talk a little bit about the 150 Business Challenges, a collaborative initiative that Women in Trucking has with Expediter Services, and that is to create 150 women-owned businesses in transportation. Having your CDL and being around owner-operators, I'm sure that gave you a great appreciation of what it takes to start and operate a business. What can you tell us about the 150 Business Challenge program, how it started? Let's just kind of talk about that for a moment.
Well, I'll go back to talking to Jason Williams and Jeff Tacker and about their passion to create a more diverse driver force. And so they already were looking at ways to help women. But when we partnered, we said, let's help women understand this business. Now, I will tell you, Greg, that people have told me that women ask a lot more questions before they make a decision. But that's because women typically are more risk averse. Women don't want to take risks, and so they're going to get as much information as they can. By providing a way to get this information, and the information could be, hey, route optimization or buying insurance or getting financing, things like that. By providing this information to women who are looking at either buying their first truck or expanding their fleet, like some of the drivers are already doing, it helps women be better prepared, which makes them better owners and small fleet owners. So I think that ES is providing not only the information, but the support through their network and saying, you know what, we're here for you and we're going to walk you through this process and we're going to ensure that you are successful.
When you look at what ES does, they've got a financing arm. They've got, as you mentioned, they've got back office. They've got support on the maintenance side, equipment, all of the things that you need to be successful. Plus, they are placing you with strong partner named fleets. To have those fleets and have ES connected with a program that is generating women-owned businesses has to be a dream for you guys.
Well, think about this. They're already doing the legwork. They're saying, hey, we already have talked to different trucking companies, and we know how they treat their drivers. We know how they pay. And so we're not going to let you go to a carrier that doesn't treat you well. The other thing is financing. Sometimes it can be more difficult for a woman to get financing in a non-traditional career because you're talking to a lender who's going to look at your background and say, we don't know that you can do this job or that you're capable, so we're going to be more hesitant about providing funding for operating your first truck. In fact, I've heard female drivers tell horror stories about how they'll go into a bank and the bank's like, well, you don't know anything about trucking, so we're not going to finance you. Well, ES removes that obstacle by saying, we are going to find the best financing for you, and we're going to walk you through the process. And guess what? It's not based on your financial history or your credit rating. It's based on your work history. And I don't think there's too many other organizations out there that actually look at a person's work history and base their commitment for funding instead of looking at their credit rating. So I think the way ES looks at how to bring people in the industry is so progressive.
And you mentioned something that's very key. We talked about it a little bit earlier. As you know, in a lot of industries, pay equity is a huge issue for women trying to climb the ladder of different industries. In trucking, the cents per mile are the same for men and women, which is a great thing in terms of pay equity. What you just talked about, though, there's this barrier for financing, and ES has removed that.
I don't want to say that any financial institutions actually discriminate against women, but a lot of times it's harder for women to show a credit history, especially if they've been married for any length of time, or let's say if they've had some medical issues, high expenses or things like that. By helping them find the best lending institution and for ES to say, we're going to make this driver successful as a driver or owner operator or fleet owner, and that's that added layer of protection that will help both men and women. I want to state that this is for both men and women, but especially for us at Women in Trucking, because I want to see the next big large fleet out there that was started by a woman in a truck.
One of the places I know that you look right now is through that ES program, because there are a lot of women who are taking advantage of this program. I recently had a chance to catch up with the leadership at ES. They've told me that the Business 150, which is looking to help generate, again, 150 women-owned businesses in transportation, they are approaching 100. That's pretty significant when you look at it.
That's very significant, and nobody has the same kind of program that ES is offering. And so I send women and men to ES all the time if they're looking at buying a truck and or getting into expediting or class 8. I tell them, you know what, go check out ES first and see if that works for you, because I personally recommend them. So I think what they're doing is great.
Ellen, you and I have known each other for quite a while, and I know that folks in your position who are game changers and executives don't spend a lot of time looking back. But I would like to take a moment looking back at the road that Women in Trucking has paved so far over your history. When you look at it, where you are today, 13 years down this road, could you have imagined what has happened and where you are when you founded the organization? And what has surprised you most over this time?
The thing that surprised me the most is the change in attitude of the trucking industry. In the past, like I mentioned earlier, they would say, well, Ellen, we don't care about gender or age or ethnicity or whatever. We just want a good driver. But yet they weren't really looking at the different categories of demographics and saying, how can we better accommodate this group of people? And whether it's women or let's take a senior population, the driver population is getting older. How can we make the trucking job less physically demanding so that we can keep our drivers here longer and not lose them because of physical issues? So there's ways of looking at who you're hiring and how you're hiring them and how you're accommodating them that the industry didn't look at 10, 15 years ago. I think we've been very vocal about the positives that women bring to the industry. And boy, I can do a whole presentation, Greg, on the positives that women bring to the industry, starting with women are safer drivers.
Well, that's a good place to start. Yeah, absolutely.
And we have that proof. We have that through the American Transportation Research Institute that male drivers are 20% more likely to be involved in a crash in every statistically significant area. So once we started bringing out data and saying, this is why you want to hire more women, the trucking industry responded. So that's my goal, is to show the positives that women bring into the industry, and yet also to point out some of the challenges that women are still facing in regard to safety and things like that. Men and women drivers have the same challenges. It's just that they're prioritized a little differently. And safety goes to the top of the list for female drivers. So we need to make sure that they feel safe doing their job, whether it's at a loading dock, a truck stop, or customer, or at their own facility. They need to feel safe in this career.
When you look back at what you founded 13 years ago, does it amaze you of how it's grown, where it's gone? And what can you say about your members, your board of directors, your corporate partners, and everybody that's been involved with WIT over these years?
The one thing that surprised me the most is the recognition that Women in Trucking has received. In 2012, being recognized by the White House for being a transportation innovator, champion of change, and also to be involved in, like, I was on the two-year entry-level driver training advisory committee. I've also been involved with the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration in a number of conversations at the White House and at the DOT. And right now we're in the process of creating a Women in Trucking Advisory Committee at the federal level at the FMCSA. The fact that we have come out as a resource to not just the industry, but the government as well, to me is very, very rewarding, because we want to be the source that everyone comes to and says, help us understand this better, or help us accommodate this group better, or whatever. But that's the part that is so rewarding, is that people are coming out to us and saying, we know that you're a resource. We want access to your drivers so we can ask some questions and better accommodate them. And so we make that happen.
Can you talk for a moment about the folks, your board of directors, your members, the corporate partners, because everybody has contributed to helping uplift the organization over the years and give it the profile it has?
I think one of the things that surprises me the most, and I really do get choked up at our strategic planning session, when we spend 2 days with the board of directors and staff, and then some of our stakeholders, maybe some of our silver and bronze level partners who we invite to spend 2 days to brainstorm on where we want to see women in trucking in the next 1 year, 3 years, 5 years. And I have to tell you, I mentioned that Jason Williams is on our board of directors as a gold level partner. But if I were to mention some of the names of the companies represented on our board, I mean, J.B. Hunt, Great Dane, Walmart, Amazon, Michelin, Ryder, PACCAR, Waste Management, Daimler, Penske, Aero, Truck Sales, C.H. Robinson, and BMO Transportation Finance. I mean, it just, some of the names that I'm mentioning are huge companies who have an interest in a more diverse industry. Having them sitting on the board of directors and bringing their resources with them is just truly amazing. And Greg, if you had told me 15 years ago that I'd have high-level executives serving on a board of directors and spending 2 days in strategic planning, I would not have believed you. So that's probably been one of the most pleasant surprises in this whole process.
Well, Ellen, we've really enjoyed spending time with you. And before we go, I wanted to ask you a couple of final questions. And those are, what do you see for the industry in 2021, given that we've seen just a crazy 2020? And what do you see for the Women in Trucking Association for 2021?
Well, first, for Women in Trucking Association, one of our goals is to start chapters. So we are establishing chapters around North America so that people can continue to network and meet and get speakers and just socialize after the conference. So I'm excited about that. But for the industry itself, you know, one thing the pandemic has done is give people the knowledge that the trucking industry is crucial to them personally. In the past, people didn't really think about the trucks they saw on the road. But now that they realize that, wow, who's delivering their toilet paper and their hand sanitizers, it's become more personal. So I'm hoping that momentum continues and people will see the value of the transportation industry and consider careers in trucking.
That's Ellen Voya, the president and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association, with her closing comments on this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast series. We would like to thank Ellen for her time and perspective. As we take a moment for recognition, ES would like to once again thank Stoops Freightliner and Truck Country for serving as our title sponsor for the Inside 2020 podcast series. To learn more about Stoops Freightliner and Truck Country, just visit the following website, truckcountry.com. That's truckcountry.com. Before we go, Expeditor Services would like to remind you that the Insight 2020 webinar series, like our podcast, will be focused on the needs of contract drivers, owner-operators, and fleet owners. ES will be making replays available for you to access on demand. For the latest details on the webinar series and all the offerings available through Insight 2020, please visit essuccessintrucking.com. That website again is essuccessintrucking.com. Finally, as we close out this edition of the Insight 2020 podcast, Expeditor Services wishes you safe travels on our nation's roads and highways. And as the country continues to face the COVID-19 national emergency, we would remind you that in addition to staying safe, you take the necessary steps to also stay healthy as you do the critical work of keeping the American supply chain moving.